Welcome to episode 7 of the FearShop.com horror podcast. Today it's March 15th, 2020. This is Mike, and with me is Xavier.
Hello.
All right. We're here talking about two movies. We got Polaroid from 2019. We got Cube from 1997. In the midst of all the crazy going on right now, it's, you know, we're still watching the horror movies. So get some things out of the way first. You want to check out the website at fearshop.com. Voicemail 215-798-0190. Email is podcast@fearshop.com. Make sure you're subscribing to us on your podcast player of choice, and make sure you're leaving us some feedback through either the means above or Apple Podcasts or the like. All right, so it's been a couple weeks, actually. Have you been watching anything recently?
I watched one. I think I tried to watch Alien again. I didn't finish it.
Damn you.
I'll give it one more chance. I'll watch it one more time.
Gotta watch part two. But, all right. So what have I been watching? I checked out Invisible Man. Yeah. Okay-ish, I guess. Fantasy Island, which was one of the ones I was actually really looking forward to. Oof. That was barely even a horror movie and just not a very good movie at all. It was just, I mean, it was okay-ish. I can't see myself ever wanting to watch it again, but it was just a weird one. Trying to think what else. Was, you know, rewatching Saturday the 14th yesterday because it was Saturday the 14th. We did just have a Friday the 13th, which is always awesome. Funny thing is, when you have a Friday the 13th, you get a Saturday the 14th right after. But, yeah, you know what was weird? So, Friday the 13th, I guess it was, what the hell's the name of the channel now? Sci-Fi. I guess it's always been Sci-Fi. They just changed the spelling years back. It seems like they only played 1, 2, and 3, and then played them backwards, which was kind of weird.
Maybe they can't get the other ones.
Yeah, usually they cycle through a bunch of them. I don't think they usually do all of them, but yeah, that was good, except I've just rewatched all the Friday the 13th, or at least all the early ones recently, so I was kind of half-hearted watching them, and as soon as the commercial came off, I would turn it off. But I'm trying to think what else. I mean, God, I've watched a lot, and it's just most of them have been average at best. So, all right, shall we get into the first movie?
We shall.
Hey, I found something.
What is that?
It's a camera.
Are you ready?
Is anybody there?
Let's talk about Polaroid from 2019. High school loner Bird Fitcher has no idea what dark secrets are tied to the Polaroid camera she finds. It doesn't take long to discover that those who have their picture taken with it soon die. So what do you think about this one?
When I first watched it, we were in the car ride to Maryland. Delaware? And
two different states, but sure.
I know, but they're both related to my soccer team. But when I first watched it, I found myself clicking to see how much time was left. A lot. Because I went into it not really having high expectations. So when I watched it, it wasn't terrible. But I keep on confusing it with Countdown. They were just super similar. I got a lot of the scenes like mixed up when I went back to rewatch it.
Yeah, they're definitely similar. I guess they both probably hit, what was it, Netflix or Prime? I forget which one. Right around the same time.
I think it's Netflix.
So the... they're going to have some similarities in there. It was okay-ish. I kind of liked... interesting concept, and I guess it's interesting that now everybody seems to know what a Polaroid is. Because I would say 5 years ago, anybody younger than 40 had no idea what a Polaroid camera was. And it was actually a pretty damn cool piece of technology when you think about it back in the day. Because you could see your picture right away. Mm. And, when you said something about it in the last episode, I was like, yeah, this feels familiar. And then I kept getting it confused with On Our Photo. And then I finally realized when I did a little bit of research why it sounded familiar. So this was a short that was created in 2015, which I had watched, and it was half decent. I don't think it was any of the same actors or anything in it, but it was just a cool concept. But it's funny, it took 4 years to actually get the film made from the short. But it was interesting. It's also the director who did the Child's Play remake, which I don't think you saw that. Yeah. Writer of Hellfest, which you probably have not seen. But, interesting concept. I think the lead character was pretty cool. She's one of the ones, I guess, that sticks out a little bit. She's a little bit more memorable. Now, when I think about, like, say, Countdown as a counter movie, I don't remember what the lead actress looks like. I remember the guy.
Yeah, as you say that, the African-American fellow.
Yeah, I remember him. But, yeah, for some reason, at the end of the day, when you have these movies, a lot of the girls really look exactly the same.
Except the bird.
Yeah, well, maybe that's part of it, too. She just had that name, Bird. Maybe. And you're just like, what kind of parents would do that? But, I mean, I can't remember either lead's name from Countdown either. No. I don't think I'm ever going to forget the name Bird.
That's true.
So, I mean, I think it's, just imagine if it was like, you know, like I decided to name my daughter like Falcon. Right?
That'd be kind of cool. I mean,
yeah, and it's just like, yeah, people would remember that.
That's true.
Much easier to remember than like Sue or like Jen. It's like, yeah, you've heard that name a couple times before.
But do you want to be called Falcon all the time?
Dude, that'd be awesome. You could just be called, yo, what the F? Or,
dude, that was awful.
No, you know, it could be like, here comes Falcon flying in. Or the best, Millennium Falcon. Right? Imagine it's the year 2000, right? And your name is Falcon. It's like, hey, it's the Millennium Falcon.
Right? This is not a right. comedy podcast.
Yes, and that was not comedy by any means either. All right. I have to pick apart some things that were weird. Like, how quickly did she realize that the camera was the cause of all this?
I know, I was actually thinking about that. It was like two people died, and she's like, the pictures.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I would just be like, oh, pictures, whatever, and two people died. I'd be like, oh, that's a bummer. Yeah. But like, to all of a sudden, it's just like, I know it's that damn cursed camera. Like, what in what world did you meet another cursed camera before?
And then later when the girl burnt it and like she set herself on fire?
Yeah.
And they still wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, that I gotta tell you, that was a cool scene. I will say that. Yeah, because you didn't really expect that one. And I thought that was pretty cool. I don't remember that from being in the short though.
Probably not.
But I guess there's kind of like a twist in the end. It starts to unravel a little bit at the end because I guess at the end of the day, they have to have like that lead villain or something. So it does start to unravel slightly. Yeah. But then there was like sort of a mini twist with the sheriff and then it was like, all right, I guess, it, you know, it was always like, oh, the cop is the bad guy. And then, oh, I guess maybe, I'm not going to say more about that. But overall, not a horrible film. Yeah. I'd say pretty much on par with Countdown for some reason. I'm always going to remember these two together just for the proximity of when they had come out.
I guess, yeah.
But you want to rate it?
Wait, I just want to say it's very predictable. That's all I have to say. It was very predictable.
Yeah, I think everything but the scene with the lighter.
Yeah.
I think was predictable. That part, that's how sad it is. Like, I'll see something like that, be like, oh, that's cool, that's different. And probably not super different, but it's still, it made them think a little bit.
Yeah. But then everything else was like...
Yeah, because I will say, so it's the writer who wrote Hellfest, which is Blair Butcher. And the Hellfest was like a decent like slasher movie, but it's just very predictable, very routine. So a lot of the writing, you know, coming from the same writer, it just seems like they're a horror fan. They watched a bunch of things and they're not trying to inject too much originality. Okay, let's get into the ratings. What are you going to give Polaroid?
I think I gave Countdown a 6.
I think so. I think we both had 6.
So I'm going to give this a 6 too.
Yeah, I'm the same thing. It's unfortunately we've both compared the two films way too much that it's not going to be drastically different. I think there is more of a chance that I would rewatch Polaroid, I think. So, yeah, I'm just guessing.
I don't know. I thought Countdown was a little bit more, like, eerie. Had more spooky vibe.
I think when I... See, here's the problem. It's... when I watch the movie, and then you do a little bit of research, and then you find reasons to like the movie a little bit more than you ordinarily would have. And I go back sometimes, and when we had the original podcast, a lot of the movies from, like, 2009 and 2010... And movies that I was like, whew, these are like 8s and 9s and stuff like that. And I've not had a ton of desire to go back and watch them again. And I just think at the end of the day, there's so many new ones that always come out. And I guess maybe I'm just getting to that age to where I'm the old grumpy man that just like wants to listen to the same albums all the time and wants to rewatch the same movies all the time. So I watch the new ones, but like I can't see myself going back to much of anything from 2017 or 2018 and just rewatching them again.
Like Halloween.
Oh, Halloween. I've already seen 4 or 5 times. Yeah. It's something different, I guess, because I'm much more familiar with Michael. Yeah, just like when in, what, 2009 when they rebooted Friday the 13th. Man, whew, God, have I seen that movie a lot of times. But, yeah, hard to believe it's been over 10 years since a Friday the 13th movie. Kind of weird in a way, and it could be another 10.
Oh.
It definitely could be.
They better get another game.
Speaking of news, there is a new Scream movie that's finally getting made. So
they see when it's coming out.
I think everything's up in the air right now because of I don't know if it's been shot or not, but I'm pretty sure most everybody is stopping everything.
No problem.
Yeah, just and to the coronavirus for anybody who listens to this, like, you know, later on or something like that, and you have no idea what the heck we're talking about. It's just a world we're dealing with right now. The A Quiet Place too. They had they delayed the release of the movie because the director wanted to make sure that people got to watch the first and the second together because he feels that's the best way to watch the second one. And, I mean, pretty much at least the area we're in, everything's shut down, right? I mean, outside of food stores, gas stations, and, like, pharmacies or something, everything's done. You know, it's going to be a couple weeks before anybody's able to do anything. I mean, public parks are shut down. So it's, you know, it's going to be one of those things. It's hard to believe every once in a while you'll still see somebody still hosting a concert or things of that nature. But, you know, is what it is. But yeah, at this point in time, unless something is shot, then it's not going to get shot anytime soon, I don't think. And even given the situation of where we're at, the funny thing is I noticed, I think in Amazon and Netflix, the top rented movie of the last week is Contagion.
Is that a...
Yeah. I mean, movie? It's, what, at least 10 years ago that it had come out. Isolation is another movie, at least a little more recent, that people are renting. I don't think it's anything that people are... I mean, I think people are paranoid, but I don't think that's why they're renting it. I think they just, like, find irony in the situation. So they would rent that. I would figure more like 28 days later or something, but because that's a little bit different.
Their ironic movie was a good enough choice.
Yeah. Yeah, not picking and choosing, but they could have went with an actual like infected movie. But All right, so shall we move on to Cube?
Let's do it.
Rooms high and 26 rooms across. 17,576 rooms.
Does anybody remember how they got here?
Why would they throw innocent people in here? Are we being punished?
There's a way in here, so there's gotta be a way out.
Do you think they'd go to all the trouble to build this thing if we could just walk out?
Take a good long look around. But I got a feeling it's looking at us.
We have about 3 days without food and water before we're too weak to move.
All right, so I did not write down the synopsis of the movie, but I think I've seen it enough times. So this is Vincenzo Natali's math horror type movie where you have a bunch of people stuck in a cube not knowing why they're there and who put them there, and they have to go from cube to cube to escape traps and also escape each other as they start to crumble and go slightly insane. So what do you think about Cube?
When I first was going to watch it, I thought it was going to be like kind of like Saw. And then when I watched it, I like Saw, but I'm glad this wasn't like Saw. Like, it was its own thing. I really liked it. It had some good kill scenes. A few. Only like 3 people died, right? Until like the end.
Yeah, there wasn't that many people that died in this movie. This was like next to nothing budget movie. So it probably like their whole budget was the kills.
Yeah, probably.
Now, the... So funny thing. A couple episodes ago, I had talked about one of the directors of the Blair Witch Project had directed Splice, and I was wrong. It was actually Vincenzo Natali who wrote and directed this film. That's why I felt off. But I think the film kind of came out of nowhere, at least for me. It just came out. I don't think anybody said anything that, like, hey, you got to see this movie or whatever. I usually catch movies early enough to where that never happens. But it's just the film, it literally comes out of nowhere. They're just sitting there. Somebody goes into a room. It's just an ominous opening. You have no idea why the guy's going from door to door. And then something unexpected happens and you realize that, like, oh, that's cool. That's a little bit different. So I think one of the clear things about this film is low budget does not equal low quality.
Yeah.
I think they did really well. I would say, what did you think about, like, the math parts of it?
Dude, I thought they did it perfectly. I felt watching it, I felt like I was going insane watching it. Like, you know what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because, of course, as you would expect, there were clones of this movie. There was another movie called Fermat's Room, which came out, I think, much later than this one. That was a cool movie. For anybody who's never heard of that one, check that one out, too. Very similar to the original Cube. I also did watch Cube 2. What was it? Cube 2 was Hypercube, and then Cube 3 was Cube Zero. Oof. They're rough.
Not the same?
No, I don't know. There's actually things about this movie I hate.
Really?
The acting is tough. Oof. So, Quentin?
Which one is that?
He's... tall dude. He's basically the one that just goes absolute bonkers.
Oh, like the cop or whatever?
Yeah, I guess he was a cop. Yeah, I guess he was supposed to be the one that's supposed to be more level-headed, but then at the end, he's out for blood, and it's just like, he's going crazy. And I'm just like, I think I even looked at IMDb. It's like, this dude didn't work again, did he? And he did have some roles, but he was just... I mean, I've said this before, at least on other versions of the podcast. I hate Nicolas Cage's acting. I think he just completely overacts in almost everything he does. Doesn't mean he's never been in a good movie, but I just think he just overacts. And people are like, oh, it's just Nick being Nick. No, it's just overacting. It's just, it's silly. That's not how human beings behave, no matter of what the situation is. So Nicolas Cage, the one that I think you might recognize, he's like in Ghost Rider. He was like the Ghost Rider. And I don't know, even if you remember those movies. But you probably haven't seen him in too many movies. And he's just like... But this guy makes Nicolas Cage look like De Niro. It's just, it's so bad. And the facial gestures. And he's just like, I'm going to kill you because you stepped on my toe. Or it's just like, oh. Yeah, it's just, he makes this film tough to watch at times.
Yeah, that's true. But I think they did a good job making him annoying.
I mean, that's supposed to be a part of it, right? He's supposed to be annoying. He's supposed to, you want to see him die, right? That's the whole point of having that one butthead character in there. It's the same thing that happens in like every slasher movie. But with this one, it's just, it wasn't like he, like, there's been jerks in Friday the 13th that are interesting to watch, right? And then this guy is just like, just please, just somebody just crush his larynx or something so he doesn't have to talk anymore. And he would still make stupid facial gestures anyway. So it's just like, I mean, it was just kind of weird. I mean, I think they played off the ending nicely because, you know, there was pretty much one person. You're like, well, what the hell is he doing in here if everybody kind of had a role? And then it made it all clear. But, yeah, I can't stress enough how to... I mean, you want to watch part two and three, you go for it. Part two actually looked like it was lower budget than this movie.
Well, I don't think this one looked like it was that low budget.
It didn't. Yeah. It didn't. I don't think it did at all.
Yeah, it looked really
good. Outside of some of the acting, that was really it. Yeah. And it's just like they just got, you know, a couple homeless people off the street. and they're like, hey, here, this is a camera. Just behave like you do when you're on crack. And so it's. I mean, but the majority of the film shot with a handheld camera. There was actually one cube in the whole entire movie. There's one room.
Yeah.
The set was one room, and they would change the panel colors, and then they realized, oh, we can shoot faster if we do all the reds first, and then like all the blues after. So the film was then shot out of order because originally they wanted to shoot it in order, but it was after they did it and they're like they put the red panels in, they're like, eh, I guess we can just go out of order and it'll make things faster. I think this film was shot really quick.
Quick, yeah.
I think it was just one of those films that's probably like done in a month and then got released. It's a Canadian movie too. You don't see too many Canadian horror movies. I mean, My Bloody Valentine is like the big one, I guess everybody remembers. This one's probably what people think of second, I think, when they think of Canadian horror movies, though. But yeah, avoid the other two. I tried again. Yeah.
You're not a fan of sequels.
No, it's not that. It's like the second one. So the second one was about a hypercube, which is like a theoretical type of cube that can't, that isn't supposed to be able to exist. So they were able to, like this, they were able to alter, say, gravity or something else because they were in a hypercube. Whereas this one is just much, this, I mean, it's realistic, right? Somebody could go through
the expense of doing
it. Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see, you know. I mean, it's not that much different from the Saw movies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jigsaw, he had some funds, man.
I don't know where he got them from.
Yeah, I mean.
But he got them.
But it's, you know, same kind of thing here. Yeah, they have all these kinds of traps that are kind of cool. I think the other ones just started going... And, oh, the third one was a prequel? Woo! I think it also, they started to let you know who created the cube.
Oh, see, that's...
And, like, yeah, and then it was much better. Like, I always thought the original Halloween, it was much better to not know, like, who Michael was. Like, you knew who Michael was, but, like, why was he targeting Jamie Lee Curtis at the time. They kind of spoiled that a little bit in Halloween 2, and they're like, oh my god, well, they're related. But in the first one, they were never meant to be related. It was just like some psycho that was just going after her for whatever reason. Mm. And that is a lot... That one's a lot more like just... I don't know. There's more, something... There's more terror behind that.
Yeah, because like it could happen to you. Like, just, you know? Because not that many people are related to like a psycho.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, it was just kind of like, you know, those kinds of things. And like... Yeah, when they try to tell too much of a backstory, then things typically don't go well. Which is weird, because like I love origin stories in comic books, when you find out how people first got their powers. I was always like a sucker for all those. You know, cartoons, the comic books, always my favorite ones. But depending on what their origin story was, too, if it was lame, I would actually like probably stop reading that character, too. Because, like, oh, that was kind of lame.
You're kind of harsh critic.
A little bit. But, I mean, like, the Hulk makes sense, right? All right. Yeah. It's like some gamma experiment went wrong. Spider-Man's a little iffy. I'll give him that. That was iffy. Dude, I mean, that really? A radioactive spider?
Okay, a gamma experiment?
Yeah, but that was, like, that could happen. So, what do you think is going to happen if you get a spider... It becomes radioactive.
I don't know.
Well, okay. It's dead.
What happens when you meet Gamma? You're dead.
Some people survive lightning attacks.
I don't think it's Gamma.
I'm just saying there's more of a chance that somebody can become green. And when he gets angry, nobody likes him when he gets angry. There's more of a chance of that than a radioactive spider. For some reason, it's a high school trip, keep in mind, that was in some lab that was doing radioactive experiments as well. All
right.
So just put all that together, and it's just like, yeah, no.
My school's taking me to some pretty weird places.
Really? Have you been in the midst of radioactive spiders?
I've been in mines.
Yeah, but still, mines are actually...
What if there was like a radioactive piece of charcoal?
Yeah, there's no such thing. See, now you're just talking crazy. No, when you were talking about green people, that's possible.
But all right, dog.
Radioactive coal? No. I gotta tell you, I thought about that once. I took you down a mine shaft once. Just I don't remember how many of you guys were actually born, but we went there. It was when we went to wherever that is, the Canoobles. So it's around the mountains or something. And it was like a mine down there. We're like, oh, we'll go down there. And then... Just like, you know, the people are telling a story. Yeah, a lot of people just, like, lose their lives down here. And I'm like, I wonder if we're going to be those people. But it just seemed like a weird, like, family trip, I think. It's like, hey, kids, let's go into a dark tunnel that we may never come out of.
Your idea, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah. So it was probably only you and your sister. But, yeah, that might have only been you now that I think about it. But... Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah. Cube is a really cool movie. It's some really bad dialogue.
That's true.
And I second again. Make sure you guys check out Fermat's Room. Very cool movie that nobody seems to know about. I don't know. You want to rate this one?
Yeah.
All right, what do you got?
I'm stuck between an 8 and a 9. I think I'm going to push 8.
Okay. That's where I'm at.
Oh my god.
Scary. So the funny thing is, I think when I had reviewed this movie before, years and years and years ago, I probably would have given it a 9. And I watched it this time, and I originally wrote down a 9. But then I was like, yeah, Quentin's a pain in the butt.
The librarian was also annoying. The government. That got a little bit annoying.
I think some of it, I don't know, they didn't have... intense dialogue to really draw people in, and I think a lot of it is like they were trying to figure out like what to do with some of it, and yeah, so trust me, you think that one's just wait until the second one. It's just like, I think they're both on Amazon, by the way, the other two. But it was I'm talking them up so much that you're going to want to watch them.
Yeah, I'm going to just go do...
But still, worthwhile movie. All right, I think that just about wraps this one up for this episode. You want to get in touch with us, you do it at fearshop.com or voicemail 215-798-0190 or email us at podcast@fearshop.com. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast and leave feedback in your podcast player of choice. All right, and what do you want to say to everybody on the way out?
Be safe with this coronavirus out there.
Oh, wow. I'm so used to goodbye.
Wait.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Okay. There we go. But yes, I definitely echo be safe. Until the next podcast, just keep it hard.
Today is his birthday.
The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!